I will then call this meeting to order. This is the board meeting of the Oil Loma Sanitary District Board. Tuesday, August 12, 5 p.m. Welcome, Mimi. Can you hear me? Okay, I saw a hands up, so I guess she can hear. So we'll do a roll call, please.
I can hear. I'm sorry. I'm using a Macintosh. I'm a Windows person.
It's all right.
All right, I'll send it back to you. With roll call, Director Dean.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Secretary Duncan.
Present.
Vice President Lee.
Present.
And President Young.
Present. Thank you very much. We will stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance and led by, I don't know, Jimmy Dagney.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Into the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Dang. I don't see any general public in the audience. Is there anyone online?
No members of the public online.
Sure. You've let me know. Thank you. Okay. Item five is the consent calendar for the approval of the board minutes of July 22nd. Are there any questions or comments? If not, a motion would be in order.
Director Lee, I would like to move the consent calendar if there are no comments on it.
Chair Duncan will second.
I can second that.
Oh, thank you, Mimi. We actually got a second, but I'll consider
thank you.
Next one.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I can barely hear you guys.
I'll try to speak up. Does that help?
Perhaps yeah, and I'm going to, my friend is getting me a speaker, so hopefully that'll help.
The sound on your computer perhaps could be turned up.
So if you think I'm ignoring you, I'm not, all right?
Okay.
I just can't hear.
Okay. So I have a motion and a second consent calendar. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. Director Dean.
Yes.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
And President Young.
Aye. Thank you very much. So we'll move on to item six. 6.1 is a public hearing on delinquent solid waste charges for fiscal year 24-25 and proposed method of collection and election by Oil Loma to collect delinquent solid waste charges on the tax roll and providing for notice thereof and hearing thereon. So I will open the public hearing for any protest. Do you have any invited?
We have not received any protest.
I don't see any public online. Are there questions from the comments? In that case, I will close the public hearing and move to the resolution. Can I do that, Alex?
Yeah.
So I move to the resolution overruling protests and confirming the delinquent approval and proposed method for collection and election to collect delinquent solid waste charges on the Alameda County tax roll. Since we've had a public hearing and there were no additional comments or protests, I would consider a motion to adopt the resolution.
Directly, I'd like to move this item.
For a second?
A second.
Thank you, Director Simon. I have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
President Young?
Aye. Now we move to item 6.3, which seems like we're repeating ourselves. However, I will open the public hearing on amended ordinance number 34, regulating the collection, removal, and disposal of solid waste and other discarded materials. Are there any protests or written?
None have been received.
Is there any comment from the board? Question?
What actually are we doing when we do this?
updating the ordinance to reflect the rate change. So the rate change for this year, effective September 1, is 3.18%.
Anything else? All right. So I have opened the club's public hearing. We'll close the public hearing now, and we will consider an adoption of Ordinance 34-50, regulating the collection, removal, and disposal of solid waste and other discarded materials. Without any additional questions, I would consider a motion to adopt Ordinance 34-51.
Okay, Lee, I moved item 6.4.
Do I have a second?
Director Duncan will second.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
And President Young?
Aye. Thank you very much. Now we'll move to item 7, Committee Authority Association Reports. 7.1, report from Alameda County Waste Management. Stop Waste, Director Duncan.
We met on July the 23rd, and we had really two items that we talked about. One was the Altamont property history and revenue, and the Energy Council, which they had to vote on, was continuing the contract they ran. But I'll share what I learned about the Altamont property. The Waste Management Authority owns 1,600 acres of rangeland property in the Altamont Hills. And it's, you know, part of the unincorporated Alameda County. And in 1985, the Waste Management Authority passed a resolution amending the waste management plan. And what they did is the plan was to allow the import and disposal of 15 million tons of waste beginning in 1988 from San Francisco at the Altamont Sanitary Landfill, acknowledging that import of the San Francisco waste to the Altamont would reduce the capacity available to the Alameda County jurisdiction. The board resolved to acquire the public ownership and reserve landfill capacity sufficient to serve the needs of the Alameda County jurisdiction. And then if the landfill capacity is needed, the property provides a long-term option to develop or sell at that time. And WMA has not proposed to develop the landfill and has not authorize any environmental documentation, engineering, design, or permitting application to the landfill at the site. Meanwhile, the property provides an opportunity engaged in activities aligned with agency goals and provide benefits to the member agency while providing a stable source of revenue. The annual revenue from the property is roughly $600,000 a year, with about 60 to 70% of this coming from royalties from the those windmills. They call it wind power easement. In addition, the wind easement and other revenues generate activities on the property, including cattle grazing and telecommunication issue. Management expenses and labor for the property approximately 8% of the revenue and less than a quarter of a full-time employee. Since 2017, WMA has partnered with, I guess, the Alameda County Resource Development to implement a carbon farming plan at the property, including one-time compost applications and over 105 acres. The work has demonstrated significant potential for using compost and rangeland to compact the effects of climate change and capture carbon from the atmosphere. What was particularly interesting to me you know, I learned about how they had to put those sensors in the windmill to keep from the birds from flying and getting killed, so to speak. And then to hear our president talk about why he hated them is because they killed birds. I thought that was really interesting. But that's my report.
Thank you very much. Questions? Comments? Anybody? Thank you very much for your report. The next item on our agenda, 7.2, is a report from the CASA conference on July 30 to August 1st. I myself, Dr. Simon, and Dr. Duncan were in attendance. And before we get into reports, I just want to once again congratulate Director Duncan for being elevated to Vice President of CASA and representing it all along very well. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Big job. I know how hard it is to try to do that and still be getting on board and do the other work. So, who would like to start? Director Simon? Sure.
Thank you, staff, again, Patricia and Jimmy and others, for helping to organize this conference. It was very good. And I'll hit some of the highlights, and I'm not going to hit them all because we have other colleagues that we'll be talking to. But one of the first ones that I attended was the CASA Special Project Report.
How do I get rid of this window?
On GIS mapping, cow sewers, and nutrient surveys.
I clicked here. And, oh,
Director Duncan,
I know.
I mean, Director Dean, thank you.
That's fine.
Sound was on. Did you put yourself on mute?
I'm sorry. Director Dean, sorry. Speaker.
I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. Director Simon,
okay.
Continue.
Sure, there was the track on CASA special projects, which included cow sewers, nutrient surveys, and was really interesting to hear. We know that during COVID that our wastewater plants were used to help track the COVID outbreak, but now they're also using it for measles. And with the current federal budget, they're looking at cutting back on this program for budgeting to support the wastewater industries here to track that. But California is looking to support that because it is so beneficial to our Cal Cities network. So we're pushing to continue funding for that to help track diseases such as the measles and anything else that comes up. Next, they also talked about nutrient surveys, and they talked about here our outbreak here in the Bay with our nutrient outbreak and how those studies helped previous studies from previous areas on the East Coast and things that helped us with our outbreak here to understand why the total ammonia was high and helping us to get our loads right. So by year 2052, we're supposed to have a 40% reduction in nitrogen. And again, Oil Loma was brought up with our salt tolerant plants, such as the horizontal levee, those type of concepts will help us to reduce nutrients to the bay. And then I attended another workshop on infrastructure project considerations. And this was pretty interesting. Rather than the traditional design build approach to build projects, looking at alternate methods such as design build, not just looking at low bid. And I understand there's a new bill that's out in California, Bill 911, Water Collaborative Delivery, that allows us to consider design build. So be interesting to hear how that, you know, would be applicable here at our district as we progress. There was a very motivational speaker. The keynote speaker, his name was Nick Maloney. He sailed around the world 3 times. And one of the big things he pushed on is having a goal that is far-fetched objectives. And we want to think it, we want to feel it, we want to do it. And how do we keep pushing to obtaining our goals? That was really motivational. And just one simple example that we kind of deal with is just walking down the street. If you see a crack in the ground, or if you're running, you want to push past that crack, not just you see it. No, I'm there, and you kind of get there. But even in our work that we do day to day, pushing through that crack, pushing through to get to our goals. So that was really motivational to see and hear how he does that. And then when you're working on something, really push really hard. And every day you have to make an accomplishment every single day. And an example was collecting stones just in your mind, and you put stones in your locker. And then when game day comes, if you open your locker and three or four little stones trickle out, you're not ready. But if you open that locker and it just rushes out with stones, you're ready. So that too was a kind of reminder how we should prepare for our projects and to accomplish things. Those are some of the key ones. I had others too, but I'll leave some space for others to speak. But it was a very good conference. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Simon. Director Duncan?
Can I use your book?
Of course.
I I thought it was really one of the better conferences that CASA has put on. There were 370 individuals in attendance, and this time all of the meetings were on the same floor. And that made it a little bit easy to, to avail yourself of the workshops. What stuck with me was really the keynote speaker, as Director Simon was saying. I mean, for an individual in their mid-20s or late 20s to sail around the world in 80 days, you know, on these big yachts, and to do it one time solo, as to me was an awesome goal. And as Director Simon said, one of the things he really said, and I'll summarize it a little easier and say that, you know, if you prepare yourself, you can do stretch goals. And he trained and put those pebbles in the locker. And when it came time for him to use them, although his mental capacity wasn't there, his body was. And the example was that he got, I think it was 15 miles from the goal, and his, before that, remember when the oceans meet, his boat topsy-turvy and had a lot of damage. And he said that he, at that time, he was going to radio his father and let him know that he wasn't going to make it in. And his father, you know, just really gave him that push, saying, you know, make a task list, fix what you can, you know, and leave the hard task for the end. And he said that it took him, he did that. And then, you know, you get motivated once you see you've accomplished some stuff. And he had to climb the top of the sail to fix it. And it took him 3 hours because he was so exhausted. But once he did that, then he was, able to continue to sail. And then I got 15 miles from meeting that goal. And that's when is it the keel? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bottom, you know, you can't stir your boat if you don't have that. And he had to call in, and they had to rescue him. But just to see some of the footage and just observe the tenacity of an individual really motivated me, and it made me personally evaluate what, you know, stretch goals have I set for myself, not just with Oraloma, but, you know, personally. And so that was, to me, one of the highlights of the conference, and I'll leave it like that. And naturally, the other was to get the accolades to be the vice president of this organization that the wastewater industry really think a lot of. So thank you again, Sheila, for the accolades. And
of course.
Really good conference.
Okay. So when I came home, I'm older than most of you. So when I came home, I wrote my notes down. So if you'll forgive me, I will read them to you. Although I think I may have covered some different subjects, which that's good. And I'll be happy to give them to you if you want them, Patricia. So the staff at CASA, as always, did a great job of arranging for and executing a great conference for staff and board members. This was the 70th anniversary of CASA, and I think we brought back some cups for people who weren't allowed, who didn't go with us. I attended as appropriate sessions that I could find that helped me understand and execute my work here. I'm happy that Joseph and Jean both attended the CSRMA because there was a good deal of information regarding O&M and waste discharge requirements. I found a session on having a construction insurance program where the owner maintains control over workers' comp and general liability was very interesting. There are, of course, advantages and disadvantages. I do not know if there's a potential for a program like that here, but I'm quite confident that if there is an opportunity for us, that staff will look into using it. Another session I attended was called The Wedge, which was a metaphor for improving relationships at work. I found it very useful. It included much information for use in our day-to-day lives, as well as for employees and supervisors at everyday work. I really did enjoy that session. I also attended the Women's which previously was called Women in Wastewater. I think they abandoned it because it was called WOW, which I thought was pretty funny. There was a three-person trip to the wastewater and how it changed through the years. Jackie Zipkin, and one of the panel members was from Dublin Center and Services District, who was herself a former president of CASA. And on Thursday, as everyone has already mentioned, the keynote speaker was Nick Maloney, who's a major star and a record-breaking ocean racing CEO. He presented videos which were phenomenal and presentations on his most iconic yacht races. He holds more than 15 world sailing speed and endurance records, including a Guinness World Record. His principal message, as has been stated, was the importance of perseverance and emotional connections to whatever you strive for. He was an amazing presenter. And the final presentation on Thursday was Thriving in Today's 24/7, which I thought would also be helpful for us here, by Scott Sommerfeld from the Bay Area. I've known Scott for more than 30 years. I've attended many presentations that he's given through the years, but I also attended his presentation to a CASA communications committee later in the day, and he was very informative and very helpful. And then I think that Jason Warner, will he here, would have been pleased that Gary Darling, an old friend of his, which is well, Jimmy Dean. I think that's a sausage, isn't it? Yes. I went down to the program, which is ever present on all our minds. I'm sure Orlando will keep us informed of our potential for AI use as the techniques continue to be developed. I enjoyed my trip, and I'm grateful to the district for encouraging me to attend. I don't think I've attended many of these through the years, but I did enjoy what little time we had there. That's the end of my report. Yes, go ahead.
I want to do a postscript. I also enjoyed the dinner that we had with Castro Valley. That's always a highlight, and I meant to say thank you again, Jimmy, for arranging it. And just had good conversations sometimes with people that I don't normally get to connect with. So that was another highlight for me. And the food was great.
Thank you. There are no questions or comments to me. Do you have any comment about the conference?
Enjoyed it as well, you guys.
Yeah. The two dinners we attended were quite interesting, and we should be thankful for having gone. All right, we'll move on to new business. I don't know what happened to our public guest. She turned that way. So I don't know where she went. I was going to ask her if she had any questions, but it's all right. So are you speaking, Alex? Do you want the floor?
No, once you call.
Thank you. All right, then. business, the approval of the updated District Code of Ethics conduct for members on the board. I will turn this over to Alex.
Good evening, board members. This version of the Code of Conduct reflects the changes that the board went over at the last meeting and the changes that the board directed us to make and bring back to you. You can see everything now that's shown in red is a change from our current adopted policy. So in section, just this isn't everything, but a couple of them. In section 3E, we've changed that to say, directors should be emphasizing the positive, not participating in negative forms of communication and interaction, both internally and externally. That was something that the board debated whether to include that externally or internally, but the direction was to include that from a majority of the board. In H2, we referenced, added some language, nothing herein limits the ability of board members to communicate directly with constituents in accordance with adopted board guidelines, because there was some concern that this language as it existed was limiting your ability to talk with constituents, and that wasn't the intent at all. Clarifying that in H5, clarifying that you can make a request solely for information for a department head, but it should just be copies of information. They're the ones with the relevant information you're asking them, not anything that would require the creation of new information or anything like that. Any of those requests should be directed to the general manager solely. And we added in greater than 2 hours, so that's clear what a substantial expenditure of time is. The board decided to provide direction to delete Section J previously, so that's deleted. And then the new Section J is sort of the bulk of the what I call the censure policy, and that's all laid out there. The two things I'll note is that based on the board's direction, that and we now say a violation of this policy may be addressed by remedies available in law as approved by a 4/5 majority of the board, excluding the board member who committed the alleged violation. Previously, just said that majority of the board, but the board to be provide direction to change that to super majority. And then the last item is that this policy shall not be applied retroactively to any board member for any conduct occurring prior to blank. And assuming you adopted that today, we would put in today's date there. That was something that the board wanted to clarify, that you weren't going to apply this policy to anything that's happened in the past. It would only be for policy, for conduct that happens from adoption forward. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the board.
Thank you. Comments, anybody?
I have a question.
I'm sorry, is that Director? Let's go ahead.
Is it, I can talk?
Yes, you know.
Yeah. I only see a copy. I'm looking at a copy that's in our packet that's all has all the crossouts in it. Are you guys looking at a copy that doesn't have all the crossouts? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. And I have speakers.
Can you hear me?
Maybe you could give me a, somebody could wave at me and let me know if, are you looking at a copy that's, because we requested that it be all typed out and complete so we could look at it. Is that what you're looking at? And I'm only looking at
a crossed out version.
You are.
Just like you are.
Okay. So we had requested not to look at that. So that's my question. I believe Rita requested that.
So I apologize if that's what the board wanted. My understanding is, or what I thought was that the board wanted, you may recall the previous version had blue text that were proposed changes from the personnel committee and red text that was proposed changes from Director Simon. And so my understanding is you want everything combined into one red line so you could see the changes.
Correct.
So apologies if I misunderstood that.
Okay. That was my question.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say maybe it would be cleaner for all of us if we got a clean copy and everything was, you know, all the red and the new date was on it, and then we would approve it. I don't have any issues with what you explained. I believe that you followed the directions appropriately, but maybe it would help if we were not approving this marked up copy, but a clean copy. And
perhaps after our discussion today, we can bring it back with no red lines.
Right, that was my...
and do one more pass through, because I have some comments that I want to make some changes.
Right, but I was thinking to
understand.
Respond to her.
Right. So, Mimi, did you follow in that discussion?
I said, Mimi, this is Rita speaking, or Director Duncan speaking, that once we have our conversation today, the final copy that we vote on will be a clean copy without all the red notations and deletions on it. Okay? I think that will work. All right.
She did a thumbs up.
All right.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, Fred.
Just one small one. On 3F, there's a strike through on the F in blue.
Blue? I don't see any blue.
It's a little typo. That was it. The F should be there.
I gotcha. Or is that part of paragraph E?
It is a little.
Oh.
Thank you.
A color typo.
Thank you, Alex and the committee for working on this, and the board as a whole. We put a lot of work into it. I'm glad it's going back and forth, and we're making sure it's right. So I appreciate the patience on getting this done. So thank you. That's all I got.
Director Lee.
Well, I have a couple of points, right? I'm looking at you, right? Directors should commit themselves to focusing on the business of the district, emphasizing the positive. I think why I'm having trouble with this and not participating in negative forms of communication interaction, both internally and externally, that's specifically when we're talking about Oral Loma. I deal with a lot of outside organizations as well as politics, and there's going to be some negative forms, but it's not regarding Oral Loma. So that's why I'm having some trouble with this language over here, right? Because that's suggesting that I cannot do that.
I thought we took that out. I thought we stopped it at the word positive.
No, I understand negative forms of communication interaction, but then it...
I'm talking about, I thought when we discussed this before, we only had the one sentence that stopped at the word positive, so that we didn't add all that negative and communication interaction, which seems to be...
Well, I'm not going to commit myself only to focusing on the business of the district.
Well, I'm thinking this ethical... Oops, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking that this is particularly focused on Oral Loma. It's not, I have a whole bunch of hats other than Oral Loma. So I didn't.
Be more explicit. That's what I'm saying.
Well, my point is that he, Alex specifically did what we asked him to do because of a comment that Director Young said that you can't, you know, tell me how I'm supposed to be talking in my home. And that's why we said to emphasize a positive, you know, and not the negative forms of communication. And we said both internally as well as externally. I remember the conversation specifically, but if you have trouble with it,
I think we need to.
Wait, you're thinking it's prohibiting you from talking about other things other than Orlama?
Yeah,
I don't read that into that.
Directors should commit themselves to focusing on the business of the district. Yeah, and I don't focus only on the business of the district. That's what I'm saying.
I think this is just governing your work here, right? The, you know, like A, B says responsive and attentive listening and communication is expected. You know, it doesn't say it, but obviously this is just about your board communications. You know, if what's happening other places is not, yeah.
I still have trouble with it. You know, I think it needs to be worded differently. I don't know what the correct language is, but you know, I'm having trouble with that.
Can I offer a suggestion? I have some of the same concerns that Director Lee does. I'm not sure why we're trying so hard to put so many words in the policy that we should all know to begin with. I mean, you know,
that's a big assumption.
I think we need to tell everybody who ever joins this board, by the way, you have to emphasize the positive, not the negative forms of communication and interaction. I would stop that whole sentence after the words emphasizing the positive period and get rid of all that. And I was the one who brought up, you can't trample on my First Amendment rights. If I want to talk outside of this building about anything that's going on here or any other place, I don't think you can control that. That's just my feeling. Anything else, Director Lee?
Yeah, you know, as I'm going through this, right, you know, and I think there are a number of areas that are very appropriate. I do have some concerns. Like, for example, this one where it says directors may direct requests for information to the appropriate department director as long as such request is not...
Tell people where you are.
Yes, so H5V.
Five.
Yeah, directors may direct requests for information to the appropriate department director as long as such request is not the creation of new information. We should be, you know, and we made it very clear in our prior meetings that we should be going directly to general manager. And I think what this one line in red undermines his authority. And I want that one struck out.
Well,
which one is that?
Oh my God, help me.
Directors may direct requests for information to the appropriate department director as long as such request is not the creation of new information. That needs, because we should be going to the through the general manager on those requests. That was made clear in prior meetings, and I don't understand why we're making that change.
So this change was made because at the last meeting, the board specifically asked for this.
Because I think that's wrong.
I'm just saying this is what the board asked for. It wasn't actually one of the items there was a dispute about. There was a feeling of, we asked Patricia for information. We asked all these people for just information, copies of reports, lists, and that. And that we did, the board as a whole didn't want that to be something that was against the policy.
How do you create control over that, though? I mean, are you saying then that I can call any one of the engineers and ask for a copy of a report?
Department director is what it says. So you could call the district engineer and say, Bill, can you send me a copy of the presentation you did before?
I'm with Director Lee. We have a direct conflict then in this document itself, because there is some place that says, where was that? It's item 3D, primary responsibilities, formulation, evaluation of policy, and day-to-day operations of the district are be delegated to the general manager. That's in direct conflict with a statement that says we can call the department manager.
Those aren't in conflict. Implementation of policy and day-to-day operation is not There's no conflict with saying you can request a document from someone.
I'm not going to vote on it.
Yeah, it's up to the board. If you want taken out, that can be taken out if that's what the board wants.
I want to take it out. Otherwise, I'm going to just vote no.
Are you finished, are you finished, Director Lee?
Well, I'm going through this. Yeah, I'm complete.
Director Duncan? Yes, I said Director Duncan.
Okay. I don't have an issue with how it is now because, you know, for me, I communicate with Patricia a lot. And a lot of times it's around my time and just recently around my trip to the Marriott. And one of the questions that I was going to ask Alex in this meeting, because I knew we were going to discuss this, I wanted the chart that Patricia and Jimmy did for the budget for me. Remember the budget? I wanted it to be updated in September once we voted on the new amendments. And I wanted to know, do I go to Jimmy or do I go to Patricia? Because she did the work on it.
Yeah, in that case, I would say you go to Jimmy, because it's not just a copy of something that exists.
And so I understand this clearly. And recently I called Country, but this was a personal issue about a system that Orlomo put into my house. And I didn't go to Jimmy. I went to Country, because he was the head of the department and he's the one that oversaw what was happening with my sump pump. So should I have gone to Jimmy because I was viewing myself as a customer.
That's a very unique situation because of your unique house location and pumping. That I think is different than when you're reaching out to a general manager, for policy related things. If you're reaching out,
saying, I went to him directly. I didn't say, Jimmy, can I talk to Country? I think it's okay as it is, and we can vote on it or do whatever.
So what is your take on that? On the issue of the customer relations?
Well, I it sounds like in that situation, that was the point of contact for the private work that was being done on Director Duncan's home that happened previously. And so in that case, she was contacting him in her personal capacity to follow up on that work that had been done, and he was the point of contact for that work. So that's fine. It wasn't it wasn't for new work. It wasn't for her role as a director.
No, clearly the response will be different because she's a member of the board. I'm just saying, it's nothing on you. I'm talking about from a general point of view. If a customer in the field wants to call and talk to Country because he's managing a project around their house, I don't have a problem with that. But I think when you're a member of the board, you have a different stature with staff than you do if you're a regular member of the public. That's all. I mean, I don't have a problem with the fact that Rita contacted him. I remember that's one of the reasons she's on this board. It's because of the work that was done around her house all those years ago. Anyway. I'm sorry, Director Lee, go ahead.
So here's the question. Going directly to the appropriate department director, I understand that we're requesting things from administratively, from staff, from the administration, right, the administrative department. But when you go to the department director, you can also cause some confusion right there, right? And again, I believe that undermines the authority of the general manager, And having that line in there would undermine the authority. So if we're talking about going to, for administrative responsibilities and duties with the administrative staff, I don't have an issue with that. But going to the appropriate department director, that should go through Jimmy.
Yes, Director Simon.
Curious, as Jimmy, as a general manager, how do you feel about it? Not to put you on, but...
No, not at all. I appreciate the question. I actually had a follow-up question to the dialogue that's happening. What is to prevent, I'm not saying anyone here does this, but what is this sentence, what is that to prevent a future director to go directly to a department head and ask for 1.5 hours worth of work? And then in a separate request, ask another 1.5 hours worth of work because it doesn't meet the 2 hour mark. And I have no idea that this is happening because this doesn't state that. Now, the future board member is sucking up resources of staff. And unless that manager tells me that this is happening, I won't have any idea.
You want to be in the loop.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how do we know what my staff how do we get you in the loop with this then? Is there a way to modify this to keep you in the loop?
Because email. What if you emailed a request to the department manager with a CC to the GM?
Always add a CC to me. Absolutely. That would definitely help. Yeah, I do get the CCs from you, Director Duncan.
Okay, so if we're doing that now. Then...
But this, again, still doesn't address the question of how do you prevent a future board member from making one request that may take up almost 2 hours of time, and in a separate request, ask for additional reports that may take another set of time, and then keep doing it.
So,
I thought he answered that.
The request directly from the department heads shouldn't take up any significant amount of time because it can't do it if it's a request for the creation of new information. Now, if a board member is asking Jimmy constantly for, 1.8 hours of work, I think it's the discretion of the general manager to say, these are the same topic. We need to go to the board to get that in place. Or for the general manager to go to the board and say, this policy is not working because, all one member or multiple members, all members are constantly sending me 1.5 hour projects and it's taking up all of my time.
So back to this item, if it's a request, it's not new information, it shouldn't take that long because you're pulling an existing report. It should be quick. It shouldn't be a big job. However, you still want to be in the loop what's happening. And it sounds like Director Duncan, you're copying Jimmy now. So maybe we just modify this and just add the word with a copy to the general manager. That way Jimmy knows what's going on. It streamlines the process so Jimmy's not having to be involved in every little thing and it's smooth. So would that work? Can we do that?
Absolutely. It's up to the board.
Okay, Ben.
So I agree with what Director Duncan is saying because she's putting it in writing. Right. Yeah. And I personally still think it needs to go through the general manager who will understand what's priorities, right? And then he can shift responsibilities as appropriate. If we're going to put it in writing, even we CC, right? The reality is Jimmy still needs to manage the staff. When you're saying is not for the creation of new information, I could think of a lot of information points that's still going to take me, 45 minutes to an hour, and that's still a significant amount of time, right? So when you're going through finance documents, there's a lot of documents out there, and there's a lot of clarification that needs to be asked, right, which would have, a lot of back and forth discussion. If we're talking about administrative work, right? Because we do interface with Patricia quite a bit. right? That is an administrative set, work. When we're talking about department directors, I think, again, Jimmy would understand, our general manager would understand what's in the queue.
What if we just change it to say directors may direct written requests for information to the appropriate department director as long as such request is not for the creation of new information. Excuse me. Let me say that again. Directors may direct written requests for information to the appropriate department director with a copy to the general manager as long as such request is not for the creation of new information. And then Jimmy sees what the general manager sees all the requests coming in and can say, hey, that's not really information that is, or that's a big undertaking or whatever, because he's copied on all of them.
I think that makes sense because he still has visibility and he can still comment on it and say, hey, how long is this going to take you, Bill or Charlie or country? That makes sense that we have that language.
Go ahead, Rita.
Different is this. I know how it is, but I think we need to talk about it. When we ask for information on at the committee level, when the department heads are, Jimmy is at all these meetings.
Move closer to the mic so we can hear you. I know.
My question?
So I think the assumption is that Jimmy is at these meetings.
Just so we check it out. Because I ask for information a lot in these meetings.
And theoretically, in one of those cases, Jimmy could say, hey, that's a big request, construction committee or whatever. Like, we're going to need to take that to the full board.
We've talked about it. I'm okay.
That work for you, Mr. Dang?
That works fine.
Okay, well, we can try it, and if it finds out it doesn't work, we can also revise this ethics policy later on. Anything else, Mr. Lee?
No.
Okay. We actually touched on the one that I had concerns about. My final comment about this whole document is that I think we need to remove the very last sentence. It is not my intent to apply retroactively any conduct prior to today's date. I think in view of what's going on nationally and publicly, that we need to pay attention to this. And the organization's been here for 115 years, or 120, I think. And we've never had to say to people, we won't punish you for anything you've done in the past. I just think it's an unnecessary sentence, and I would vote to remove it.
And it's punished for something he said in the past?
Well, he was under Attorney General review at the time he left.
I know, but he was punished for something he said in the past.
Yes, he was. And he should have been. No, yes, he was.
So, for example, if a video came out tomorrow of, not saying it, but any of you, of a recording from last week, you would not be able to be punished under this policy because that is conduct from the past.
Exactly. That's
so I just wanted to make sure, like, if that happened again, you would not be able to censure. So I just wanted to,
point. And that's why I'm not in favor of leaving that sentence in. I think we're all grown-ups, and we need to be responsible for our own action. And so I would vote to remove that sentence. That's my only comment about the entire document. Comments? Questions? Go ahead, Fred.
I'll just make a comment. I still support keeping that last sentence in there. I think there's a lot of small items here that can be blown up. And I think we know what's here going forward. And I don't think any videos are going to pop up or audio of something that happened, so we don't have to worry about the Landis situation. But I feel strongly that we should keep that last item.
And Director Lee?
I agree with you that we should remove it because, you know, like I can think of some actions that we would find out later that was really egregious. Case in point, Jeffrey Epstein, right? No, he wasn't on our board. I'm glad he wasn't, right?
Yes.
Right, but then those actions were very egregious. And again, we already have the controls in this document, right, to require a supermajority.
It's a very good point.
How can you apply?
Go ahead, Rita.
How can you apply something that we just created
and retroactively
judge somebody for something in the past? That's why I like the sentence. Help me understand it.
I think it is still fine to apply it to conduct that's in the past, especially if in a situation where the board hasn't discovered the conduct until after this policy was adopted. I'd also note that, you know, it requires a super majority. So if any one of you says we don't want to do something related to the past, you can block it from happening.
I didn't understand that part. I think the sentence should be removed, and if it's not removed, I will not be voting on it. There's a very large elephant in this room that we have not discussed. I don't want to discuss it today, but there are documents that are filed in court that have comments related directly to Oraloma. And I'm not willing to put those in the past with a statement like this. And that's my statement, and I'll stick by it. So somebody want to move this, or do you want to send it back to personnel? I guess we did talk about sending it back, not to personnel, send it back to this board with the whole document in black ink, stated as we have talked about today. And if there's, I mean, I would like to remove the sentence at the very end. And I don't know how we get to that point. Can I get a
thumbs up to see if people want to remove it? And if
one thing we didn't do was ask Director Dean if she had any comments. Director Dean, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm listening. Can you hear me?
And we can. Do you want to make any comments?
Wonderful. I didn't hear what you said. I couldn't understand what you said, something about Oraloma comments, and that's, I don't know what that's about. Is that something I need to know about?
If you cannot hear me, there's no point in my yelling.
All right.
I don't know how to tell you, but did you understand that I was talking about the very last sentence?
No. I understood that. And then you said something about the reason why you wanted it kept in was something about Oraloma,
I didn't understand
what that was. You said you didn't want to talk about it now.
I said there's an elephant in the room, and I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
If we want to talk about it, we can, but I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay. I think it's a tough sentence, that last sentence. But I think we need to move forward. So I really don't think there's any problem keeping it in. And if it would make you more comfortable, we could say, unless it's a felony or a crime. You know, like, if that would make you happier, you know, that people can't, we can't look back on the past unless someone's committed a misdemeanor or a felony or some other crime. Maybe we could add that if that's would help. Would make you feel better. Otherwise, I like it.
Yeah, well, I still think we should just remove it. I think we put too many prescriptive documents in this policy. And it shouldn't be that hard. We all should operate ethically. And if we can't, we don't have to have a piece of paper that says, well, it's okay if you misbehaved in the past. We won't punish you for that. I'm not willing to go there. Yes, Fred, go ahead.
Call to question on this item.
You may.
Okay, call to question on keeping this item in or out.
I know, but we're not going to vote because we have to do a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. That's so, what I'm saying. Can we thumbs up?
Keep it in, then give me a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Where are you with this, Mimi?
I don't know what the question was. Sorry.
The question Can you put it in the chat?
Yeah. Director Dean, the question is thumbs up if you want to keep the last sentence in the policy.
Fine.
Thumbs up.
Okay, so we have three up and two down, and we'll ask the document to be brought back with a full copy with no red marks.
And could we get the, when it get comes back to us, could it please be done in black or dark blue text and not red?
She can't, this
part. Yes, it will be in all black. No,
thank you.
You won't be able to see the changes.
Thank you.
Okay. Is everybody good with that? So we're going to have it brought back the next, not whenever you bring it back. I assume it's the next meeting. Correct?
Yes.
Next meeting. All right, then we'll move on to item 8.2, resolution authorizing the GM to execute a quitclaim deed for 21339 Oak Street. Did you have something to say about this, or is this pretty straightforward?
Straightforward, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right. Questions or comments? If there are none, then I would accept a motion to adopt the resolution authorizing the quitclaim deed on the parcel on Oak Street.
Move to adopt agenda item number 8.2, the resolution authorizing the general manager to execute a quitclaim deed for 21339 Oak Street.
A second. Is there a
second? I can second that.
Thank you, Director Dean. I have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Certainly. Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Simon?
Yes.
Secretary Duncan?
Aye.
Vice President Lee?
Aye.
And President Young?
Aye. Thank you very much. Move on to item 9.1, board discussion item, community cleanup incentive program. Mr. Simon, Mr. Dang.
This is a request by Director Simon, as it states here, just wanting to put this on the agenda for discussion amongst the board to provide a forum for you guys to talk about an idea he had related to incentive-based program to encourage community participation in litter and street trash cleanup efforts. So I'll turn it back over to the board.
Well, first of all, I talked to Director Duncan. We talked to this item, and this item actually is about, because Director Duncan wanted a positive incentive-based way to help clean up the community. I attended the curb meeting last month, and so much discussion about illegal dumping on railroad tracks and just everywhere. And it's the same discussion I've heard since I first started the board 7 years ago. Same discussion. Doesn't seem like things are getting much better. And I thought, well, I've heard before something like a bounty program where you punish people, or you set up a program where you reward people to essentially take videos of people dumping and you punish them for it. And in discussing this with Director Duncan, she said, well, let's put a positive spin on it rather than people being worried about being chased down after videoing them or killed or whatever when you get involved in those type of things. So she spun it in a very positive direction, which I really appreciate, to incentivize people, essentially pay them to take their garbage into a proper dump facility, whether it's at the actual transfer facility or we have a cleanup event with large dumpsters and tell people to bring them there, whether it's in Fairview, Cherryland, wherever. And looking at that, you know, big picture, what are the costs of that? You know, paying people to get rid of their trash rather than all the trash laying around the railroad tracks. How much time does that take and cost from the county or from us or whoever who is picking up this garbage? So, and we couldn't do this all of ourselves. This is not Oralama taking this on by ourselves, but it's us being a leader in the waste community and working with Stop Waste, working with Curb, working with Castro Valley Sand, San Leandro, whoever, to help put together this incentive-based program. So that's just kind of the concept. I mean, we can have some discussion on it, but just being more proactive to doing something with the dumping and the litter that's out there.
Dr. Duncan, sorry.
For me, I thought when I saw it was on the agenda, I thought a little bit more about it. And I don't know. Yeah, Jimmy, you were around when we rolled out the carts. How many years ago was that, the new carts? Yeah, anyway, when we rolled them out, remember for, I don't know what the radius of blocks that we collected garbage from, but we went on different streets and we wanted the community to, clean up the various streets in Ashland. And we had a designated area for pickup for WM to come pick them up, and to add to the concept that Director Simon is talking about, it would be neat if maybe we had for Ashland one cleanup day, and we advertise that individuals could get some kind of compensation. I don't know what the size of the trash should be or whatever, but that's what I was thinking, that we could make an event out of it, and we could include other agencies like Stop Waste, you know, that we're focusing on Ashland. People have an opportunity to get some kind of compensation for bringing in bags of garbage. And maybe we could have WM help us to brainstorm how something like that would work. I know when I was working, one of the things that I use as an incentive for my employees for cleanup and stuff, I would provide them with, you know, $50 Visa cards or whatever. I don't know if it could be that low, but there's ways that we could provide incentives for residents. And given the time and the economy, I think people would be interested. So that's my 5 cents.
So, I participated in a number of cleanups years ago, prior to the pandemic. And, what I recall is there is some coordination, right? The coordination generally went with either, the plazas or city public works. I think, number one, you have to have partners in here, right? Whether it's going to be the plazas who have the extra dumpster spaces or waste management or, whatever. If we're trying to incentivize folks to do a cleanup program, right, what I would suggest is that we should work with those who are already doing it, right? Otherwise, if we're just going to put out a program out there, I don't think anybody's going to really, really going to participate unless you get those folks who are actually doing it. Yeah. Because I could put together an ad and blast out to all 50,000 residents that are in our area. Some who already do it will probably participate, and the others won't. But those who participate in it, organize these, they're very good at rallying people, right? And that's how you make a program like this successful. But you need a budget for this. And you have to, I don't think it's something that we can say, we're going to have to do this. I think we have to create some kind of working group to try to formulate something like this and make this work. Right? But right off the start, there's a lot more work that needs to go into it. That's what I'm suggesting. But I think you hear the concept. We have to work with those who have already proven, who have done it. And how do we get them to inspire others to do more of it? Because I think something like this could be very successful, but you need those who are successful at doing this to champion this for you.
I think one of the other concepts too is is folks, not just a cleanup, not just picking up after things that are already in the ground, but preventing the things from hitting the ground in the first place. So people that are taking their dumps and just dumping it on the railroad,
they're not going to stop.
They can perhaps, knowing that there's a day that we will accept trash or they'll get paid for trash, bring that trash to our dump. And it's just a concept to try to stop the dumping in the first place, not to pick up after people.
Well, maybe maybe you have a program that's at the end of every month, because that's when a lot of that trash gets generated, right? When people move, they dump all their stuff. So that's one thing. And then my other thing is, you know, Forrester, the nonprofit Forrester, has a really great program. They clean Castro Valley Boulevard and they clean all the freeway entrances. So I know they already do stuff like this, and they work directly with Public Works and they work with Castro Valley San. And I think they might be a good group to talk to, as well as Castro Valley San. And maybe we're going to learn a little bit about this from Castro Valley San when we have our meeting and we learn about their zero waste program. I don't know. But I like this idea. But I agree that there's a lot of little pieces we got to put together to make it work really well. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Director Dean. Director Duncan?
And I'd like to suggest, you know, so we're not taking up too much time, that we perhaps get an ad hoc committee to work on, to flesh it out, to look at the costs and think about, you know, the time involved and the agencies that need to be, because this is something that I personally don't think we should put on staff right now, because it's not a complete idea. But I'm in the space right now that I feel that there's so much negativity that's happening, period. And when Director Simon was talking about a bounty program, I'm thinking, you want somebody to get killed. You know, don't be taking a picture of me, you know, and sending it to somebody. And so that's why I said, well, why don't we just reward some people for doing the right thing? But I agree that this, I love the concept, and I know it's bigger than us, but I think that we do garbage. And although we can argue about whether or not we're responsible for garbage that's not in the canister, we can use some of our thought power to come up maybe with a program that is.
What is CURB doing? Isn't CURB, I mean, they've been at this now for 10 years. Are they doing anything logical? I mean, I don't go to their meetings. So I'll tell you what I did see over the weekend. I don't even remember what station I was watching. It was probably Channel 2. I rarely ever watch Fox channels, but it may have been just the news. But there was a group of maybe 400 people who volunteered without pay, because I don't think you can buy people's changing their habits by paying them. But in any event, there was a group of about 400 people who literally were down on one of those major thoroughfares in Oakland where all the homeless live. And the homeless had been moved out, but all the trash that remained for like two city blocks, and they were all cleaning it up. They had pickers and hats and gloves, and waste was there, not waste, but whoever, I guess it's.
She did by Barbara Lee and her.
Yeah, well, it probably was, yeah, arranged by Barbara. But I mean, that to me was incentive for people to come and help. I think there's a group of people who will volunteer without your having to pay them to come and clean up, or maybe you, what? I'm sorry. No. Go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
That's all right. I lost my train of thought.
Apologize. did want to remind the board that as part of the approved communications plan that staff is beginning to implement, there is the Gold for Good community cleanup event that was part of that communications plan. And what I'm hearing from the board currently is almost exactly what's in this event now. And it states, teaming up for a cleaner community, or will partner with the San Lorenzo Village Homes Association annual Earth Day event to launch a new and exciting incentive-based cleanup event model. This event will help expand cleanup efforts and boost participation through fun prize-based incentives. Volunteers will receive designated cleanup bags and return them after the event to receive one envelope as a thank you for participating. In the envelopes, there could be a golden ticket worth $500 or coupons to local businesses or restaurants, provided in partnership with supportive local business owners. And it states in here also that we want to try this coming year as part of the communications plan. And the long-term vision is to tie this incentive-based model into Orlama's existing volunteer litter pickup program. And once it's all established, we would aim to expand and host the same event in all the other geographical areas in the district, including Ashland, Cherrylynn, Fairview, San Lorenzo, San Leandro, Hayward, and Castro Valley.
Yep, Fred.
So that concept is a once-a-year cleanup. I think this concept is, like Director Dean said, when people move out of their apartments, that's the dump end of the month. And this is the concept you're talking about, the golden, what do we call it now? Gold for Good. I think that's more of an educational, change the mindset, change the culture of our community. I think the concept we're talking about today is not just changing the culture, but just boots on the ground, solving the problem now. And solving the problem is people are dumping. Is that pile still there?
No, it's a new one.
Okay. So it goes away and it comes right back. Same thing as at Heron Bay. Almost every railroad track, we got this. So this is those guys or gals or whoever's doing it, we'll pay you. We'll take that garbage. Just don't dump on the railroad tracks. So it's a different concept.
I agree with you.
They're going to find out who we are, because we'll talk about it in the ad hoc if we agree on that.
We haven't agreed on an ad hoc.
So if we agree,
I know we haven't agreed.
So if we agree, we can flesh out these details. But this is a different concept than that. This is more of a monthly or bi-monthly, whatever we decide to come up with.
And for me, we always focus on San Lorenzo and Ashland and Cherrylynn. They need help. I don't see the garbage that I see in San Lorenzo. See in San Lorenzo that I see in Ashland and Cherrylynn. You know, to me, San Lorenzo is easy pickings. But I'm not disagreeing that I think the idea and the communication plan is not a good idea, but. You know, I know it isn't approved, but I recommend instead of us taking more time here, that there's an ad hoc committee and we work on it and we develop concept, and if the board approves of it, fine. If not, we go on.
Director Lee.
So no, I agree with, there's a need in Cherrylynn and Ashland. You know, like some of the partners that I've worked with over the years, right? Most of the work was done in San Leandro, pretty much all the work. Yeah, all of it, right? But these are some of the partners who knew how to get in contact with certain folks. They don't know how to get in contact with the plaza owners in Cherrylynn or Ashland. But we, as a resource, we have partners because they subscribe to us. I think, again, this needs to be a little more baked out, but it's working together with folks who have done this before, get them to participate, maybe incentivize them, right? So that we can actually get them to help us with Cherrylynn and Ashland and or guide folks to be able to do so. You're not going to get anybody to just from the spring grow up in Cherrylynn and Ashland. Maybe you can, right? But if we leverage somebody who's already done it before, do it, quarterly, right? Do it at some periodicity so that you're going to get folks to participate. And then we can probably get folks from the Ashland Reach Center to participate. I think this is something that works, but it needs to be backed out more.
The only comment I would make is that whoever wants to volunteer to be on an ad hoc committee needs to also remember the resources here at Oraloma and the resources of staff, because what are you getting ready to do, Alex? I'm watching you.
I was going to say, it's only agendized today for our discussion, so if the board wants to appoint an ad hoc, we could put it on the next meeting.
That's kind of where I was going. You have to trust me sometimes. My comment is that whoever ends up on an ad hoc committee should remember to, when you're talking about doing something monthly, to talk about, and maybe when we get a new employee on board as well, that will be something they can help plan. Anyway, so who's going to, Director Lee, do you want to be on an ad hoc? I'm not asking you to make a decision today. I'm going to suggest that we put it on the agenda for next month. But
the ad hoc can have two members.
Of course.
Yes.
And generally, the ad hoc committees are appointed by the president, though. Isn't that correct? Isn't that what our policy is?
Believe it is. Let me pull up. I don't believe it says the ad hoc committees. I think other committees are nominated by the board president, but not that.
Well, you check it out. Anyway, we'll put it on the agenda and bring it back for an appointment in our next meeting, I guess. Is that the desire of you folks, yes, who are doing all the talking?
A clarification, if I could.
Let's go ahead.
So just a clarification. The board votes on, or maybe Alex, you have the answer. Okay.
This is what our guideline says. The board may create temporary ad hoc committees to undertake special assignments or projects on behalf of the board. An advisory committee shall exist under special assignments until its special assignments are completed or it's disbanded by the board president. For example, ad hoc committees have been assigned for contract negotiations with employee groups, contract negotiations related to solid waste services, and general manager of recruitment.
So it doesn't say who appoints?
It doesn't say who appoints. And then for our other committee appoint, it says that the president appoints board members to standing committees of the board and designates the chairperson of such committee. It doesn't specifically say there that the president appoints board members to ad hoc committees.
How does that happen?
We can
by a motion of the board.
I know we vote. The question is,
by a motion of the board, when it's on the agenda, the board makes a motion to create an ad hoc committee with X and Y on the...
We never...
I did it prematurely, huh?
What?
I said, I did it when I made that suggestion that we should establish an ad hoc. I was premature because it wasn't on the agenda.
Right. Well, you didn't actually say we'd do it tonight anyway. You just made the recommendation, which is fine. So I'm just, you say it's fine with me. I don't really care. But I can tell you that in the past, the ad hocs that worked on employee contracts, the working groups, they were always appointed by the GM or the president. So I'm just saying, those were never put before this board or any other board to say who's going to work on those contracts.
Well, that's the direction. So next time we have these up, which I'm sure that comes up, we should clarify that in the board guidelines.
It's fine. All right. Anybody else want to beat this to death? We'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting at the recommendation of Director Duncan and Director Simon. All right. If everybody's good with that, we'll move on to item 10.1 GM report. Mr. Dang.
Yes, I wanted to provide an update on some of the activities of the district currently. Let's see. First is that we are While not currently required in the interest of transparency under AB 1637, we did apply for and been approved for a new domain name for a website. It is oralomasanitarydistrict.ca.gov. It doesn't mean that oraloma.org disappears. It just means that oraloma.org will probably stay forever, but it will just point to this new website. So that transition will occur over the next year because the state's extremely takes time to convert. Let's put
did that
way.
Pass? Did that so, pass?
It applies to cities and counties only and not special.
Pass?
It passed a few years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
They were discussing it. I didn't hear it pass. Okay.
So as we make progress on that, I'll definitely keep the board informed. We are currently also in a, just began a staffing study, which was noted in the new budget, which RefTelus, who's the company that was brought on, will review the district structure, staffing methods, practices, and procedures. And the goal is to optimize operations and ensure that district can meet the community's desired service levels now and into the future. We're also optimizing ADP. ADP is our payroll and other time card and also onboarding software that we're using. And in alignment with the district's strategic goal for office modernization, staff is working with ADP to optimize both payroll and HR functions for greater efficiency and utilization. This includes updating payroll processes, transitioning staff from submitting Excel spreadsheets for pay cards to now entering time directly into ADP. And then fully integrating the recruitment process as well into the ADP platform. This multi-month project will streamline workflows, improve accuracy, and modernize internal operations. We are also in the middle of multiple recruitments, as the board may know, and I just want to report that we are in various stages of accepting applications, conducting interviews, and making employment offers to those various positions. I attended the National Night Out last week with Perla from WM. We hosted a booth over at the Reach Center, and it was Alameda County Sheriff Dominant. They had the whole triangular area mostly to themselves, and we're kind of off to the side. But even with that, we had 41 visitors come to the booth. Perla was extremely helpful there because most of the people that came to the booth only spoke Spanish. And there were a couple that I engaged with that I could communicate to, but there was definitely some meaningful dialogue on proper waste sorting. Also want to mention that we had FanFest planned for this year, but we got an email Sunday evening that it is going to be canceled / postponed until 2026. There wasn't a reason given to us. It was just a very generic email saying so. There's also an upcoming Hard Touch a Truck event that is scheduled for this Saturday between 1 and 3 p.m. at the Duck Pond, the San Lorenzo Community Park. The event after that we're going to be participating in is the Washington Manor Day in the Park. That will take place on September 6th between most of the day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. I also want to mention that I'm working on a potential pilot study on nanobubble technology. Discussing with a company called Molier, they have a technology where they can save energy with what they call nanobubble technology. A presentation will be made to the construction committee once that presentation is ready. So I just want to at least brief the board that that's happening in the background currently. Presentation is not ready yet. Let's see, next week is the joint board meeting with Cache Valley. It's scheduled for August 19th, next Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. And unfortunately, it won't be in their new building. It will be in their existing building currently on Marshall. So the agenda will include topics, three topics is, which are Oraloma's 10-year capital project review, the Digester Project Overview, and CV San's Zero Waste Program Overview. The board retreat is scheduled for August 22nd here in the same OMC training room that we were at during the first one. That would be between on August 22nd, which is a Friday, starting at 7:30 a.m. going to 11:30 with lunch to follow. And lastly, the CSDA conference is the last week of this month, scheduled for August 25th to 28th in Monterey. So reminder that due to the conference, there is no second board meeting for this month. That's all I have to report.
So the last thing you said?
CSDA's annual conference.
Something about wouldn't happen this month.
It's the second board meeting that was scheduled for this month is
that's what in I didn't
conflict
hear.
With the conference.
Got it. Questions? Yes, go ahead.
Does your update, is that part of the minutes? I'll have it listed out. I didn't take notes. I did. Thank you.
Sure. All right, then we'll move to item 10.2, comments from staff and board. Do you have anything further to say, Mr. Dang?
No, thank you.
Mr. Alex Mogg. Director Simon.
Thank you, staff, in person, for all your support and work. Excellent job, as well as online. Thank you. And this is for the board, looking for a thumbs up or thumbs down, hopefully a thumbs up. I'm going to be taking a CSDA Special District Leadership Academy training. I'm going to be taking it online, Zoom, so it's half-day sessions. And it's not defined specifically in our guidelines for compensation, but I wanted to request, since I'm taking these, obviously supporting my role here at Oraloma, that those meetings could serve as a compensable meeting. And there is a Fiscal and Finance Academy coming up in September. There's 2 days. And then in December, there is a Roles in Human Resources Academy. So I wanted to request that.
And I'll just say, tonight all you'll be voting on is whether you want to put this on the next agenda to discuss and approve or not approve. You can't, since it's not on the agenda today, you can't approve this as a service, but you can decide, yes, let's talk about it and put it on the agenda.
Does anybody object to having it on the agenda? Fine, we'll have it on the agenda. Anything else, friend? Is that it? You know, there's an in-person that covers all those topics in, I think it's in November. And it's fairly close here, too. It's maybe up in, where is it?
It's in Monterey, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. Okay. All right. Director Duncan.
Good meeting. Great discussion. I did have a question, but you answered it.
Oh, you answered it. I wanted to know where we were with the recruitment, and you're saying it was various stages because Emily from Contra Costa came up to me and said, I'm going to be in your area, Rita. I'm like, okay. And because she was, I guess, part of the interviewing team. But you already said that it was in various stages. And that's it. And I'm probably exhausted because I'm taking care of my 19-month-old grandson. He's wearing me out. So anyway.
That'll do it. It will do it. Director Lee.
A wonderful meeting. I echo all the comments, right? And it's funny because I always tell young parents, sleep now. So I feel for you, Victor Duncan. And I know you love your grandchildren, right? And there's nothing better than to have someone that you can see that's part of your future. Yeah, so definitely we covered a lot of great ground this evening, and I think what we're trying to do, right, particularly with some of the ideas that were presented tonight, is we're trying to make it out to make it so that we see some success. Obviously, we're going to have to participate with other agencies because agencies and partners, right, But I look forward to seeing how that vets out. I want to thank staff, right? National Night Out, I didn't get a chance to participate in this year, but I know that it was a pretty busy thing. Even with our homeless association, they had ice cream night or something like that. I'm glad to hear that we're at the Ashland Reach Center. We have 41 participants. They all largely spoke in Spanish, so we're definitely connecting with the families in the languages that of their preference, and that's very, very important. My comments earlier about Ashland Reach, Ashland and Cherryland, is that's a gap that needs to be fulfilled. And how we fulfill that, I think some of the ideas that the board, as well as the ideas coming from staff, is going to help us get to that level of success. Thank you again for everything that you do.
I forgot this. Actually, get a preview agenda for our retreat on the 22nd.
Yes, you should. I have a meeting with Sherry Petro, and you'll have it before the actual meeting. Yes, absolutely.
You write it down, but didn't look at what I wrote down. So, thank you,
Director Dean. Do you have any final comments? I'm sorry.
Yes, I do. I don't know if I need to ask for a thumbs up on this, but I think it would be super helpful as I sit here barely being able to hear you guys, that if we could have our IT staff investigate if there's something that needs to be improved about our systems so we can all members can participate equally. If one of them is virtual, I don't know if that's a thumbs up or where we go. So if someone could advise me, I'd like to know.
Mr. Dang, I would assume that's an IT issue and that you have every power to do that.
Right, team. Right.
So the general manager will work with you to accomplish
that. Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. And then I have another thing. I know that I've talked before about our giveaways and, our touches and our whole, the way we count touches. And I know we're going to be looking at that. And I don't know if I need to get a thumbs up to ask staff to look at more environmentally friendly giveaways. Whether it's like a potholder, something that could be used in the kitchen on a daily basis, or something like something that works with pollinators. I know we give away poppy seeds, but maybe something like making seed balls. Just something more environmentally friendly that we could have an activity where the people have to talk to us for 30 seconds. And is that a thumbs up situation or what's that?
Alex, so if you want to, your opinion has been expressed. If you
I
want
can't
to
hear just, you. I can only hear mumbling.
If you want to have the district adopt the policy, then yes, you thumbs up for that sort of policy to come back to the board requiring the district only district only purchase sustainable products. If you're just stating your desire, I think, it's been stated and there's no need for that to be thumbs up. But if you want policy to be adopted, then yeah, it needs three thumbs up to come back to the board.
Oh, all right. I don't think we're at the policy point yet.
Thank you. Your point is well taken and we have noticed it. Is that good?
Thank you. All right. Perfect. And then my last comment is about franchise fees. And I know I don't know where we are at looking at the franchise fees, but I was hoping we could have a discussion about that and how they're getting spent, because, I'm a real advocate for us spending it on solid waste activities. So is that a thumbs up activity or is that not?
Yes, if you want the board to discuss it at a future meeting, that's a thumbs up. If there's three thumbs up for discussing that.
All right. So can I get thumbs up Will anybody thumbs up me?
Okay, majority has agreed.
Thank you. That's it for tonight.
Thank you. I don't have a lot to say, but I think we need to be really cautious about adding too much to our agendas when it comes to staff and resources to complete some of the projects we're asking for. So just my comment. It has been a very long meeting. I appreciate everybody staying awake and on point. Alex, thank you for all your work. And Jimmy, I see you're taking notes. And I know Patricia is taking notes. So with that in mind, thank you everybody for coming tonight, and this meeting is adjourned.
I love my